This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وادخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين آمين يا رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أهلا وسهلا everybody to our first part of our new halaqa series, The Best of Manners. The Best of Manners. And I wanted to start with a story. So in the sixth year after Hijrah, when the Muslims had settled in Medina, the Prophet ﷺ wanted to spread the deen to the other parts of Arabia and the world. And so what he did, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he started sending letters to the Arab leaders and the non-Arab leaders. And one of the Arab leaders that received one of the letters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Thumama ibn Uthal. Thumama ibn Uthal was one of the chiefs or one of the kings of Al-Yamama, which is an area in the east of Arabia. And he was the chief of Banu Hanifa, one of the most powerful tribes in Arabia. And when he received the letter of invitation to Islam, not only did he reject the message, but he actually became very angry. He became very upset and angry. Who are these people who are very weak inviting us to their own religion? And so he actually became so angry that he wanted to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to that extent. And so he would try year after year, but he wasn't successful. But he was successful in killing some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Time passed by and he had made an intention to go to Umrah. He made an intention to go to Umrah. He's a mushrik. So he went to do Umrah to his idols in Mecca. Of course, Mecca was still under the mushrikeen at that time. So on his way there, he is met by a sariyah of the Sahaba, a group of Sahaba that were there just making sure that no one's coming to attack Al-Madinah. So they thought that he was a threat, him and his people. So they captured them and they took them to Al-Madinah. And of course, what they would do to the prisoners, they would put them in the masjid. There was no prison or anything like that. So the prisoners would be put in the masjid. And so they took him and they tied him to one of the pillars. Yeah, like one of the pillars of the masjid, An-Nabawi. And then they told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in and he saw him from outside, he says, "Do you know who you guys captured?" They said, "No." They said, "You captured Thumama ibn Uthal, the guy who had killed the Sahaba. There was, he was wanted man, the chief of Banu Hanifa." So they said, "Oh, subhanallah, what should we do with him, O Rasulullah?" He said, "Treat him well." He said, "Treat him well." I want you to think about that. This is a man who has blood on his hands, blood of companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew where this person was coming from, and he knew that he was a chief. And so he said to them, "Treat him well." And so he sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to his home and he told his wives to make him food, and he actually even went to his own camel and got him milk, and he told the Sahaba to give him food and treat him well. And so they treated him well, like a very good guest. And so the Prophet ﷺ, then he went to him. He said, "Ma indaka ya Thumama? What do you have? Like, what's going through your mind, O Thumama?" So he says, "Indi khayrun ya Muhammad." Good, inshallah. Yani something good, inshallah. He says, "In taqtulni, taqtul dha damin." If you kill me, then you are killing someone who has blood on their hands. Some of the ulama, they said, that means that, yani, I'm someone who has already blood on their hand. And others said, it means if you kill me, others will come after you because I'm such a big figure. And so he said, if you kill me, then I'm a person who has blood on their hands. وَإِن تُنْعِمْ تُنْعِمْ عَلَى شَاكِرٍ. If you are good to me, then I will be very grateful to you. And he said, إِن كُنْتَ تُرِيدَ الْمَالِ فَسَلْ مِنْهُ مَا شِئْتِ. If you had wanted, if you want money, wealth, then ask whatever you want. يعني, I got whatever you want. And so the Prophet ﷺ left him. The next day, the Prophet ﷺ came again. He said, مَا عِنْدَكَ يَا ثُمَامَ. And he said the same thing. What do you have, O Thumama? What's going through your head? And then the third day he came again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, مَا عِنْدَكَ يَا ثُمَامَ. And he said the same words. And so then the Prophet ﷺ came and he said to the Sahaba, أَطْلِقُوا ثُمَامَ. خلاص, let go of ثُمَامَ. Let him go. Sahaba are shocked. What do you mean let him go? He said, let him go. Free him. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. The Sahaba, let him go. So he picked up his stuff. He went to the outskirts of Medina. He did ghusl. He came back in front of the people and he said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. He became a Muslim. Ajib. He became a Muslim. And so then he went to the Prophet ﷺ and he said to him, before this, there was no face more hated to me than your face. And now there is no face more beloved to me than your face. And he said, before there was no religion more hated to me than Al-Islam, and now there is no religion more beloved to me than Al-Islam. And he said the same thing about the city of Medina. So they asked him, like, why didn't you accept Islam before? He said, I didn't want people to say I did it out of fear or to save my life, so it would be genuine. And so he said, Thumama then asked the Prophet, how can I make up for what I did? He says, لا تثريب عليك. يعني, there's no worry for you. Al-Islam يجب ما قبله. Al-Islam, it erases that which is before. And so you're free of it. Don't worry about it. So Thumama felt bad. So he swore by Allah. He said, by Allah, I will take down many, many more mushrikeen to make up for that. To make up for that. And the story goes that he said to the Prophet, well, I was going for Umrah. What should I do? He said, go ahead. Go do your Umrah. But you do it on Tawheed. You do it on Tawheed. And actually, he was the first person to enter Mecca with the talbiyah of Tawheed. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Everybody knows it. And when he went there, the mushrikeen were very upset. What have you done? One of them was going to actually try to kill him. And they said, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't even think about it. If you kill this man, then all the resources that we have from Al-Yamama, from the east, will be cut. So they couldn't touch him. And he performed his Umrah. And then he said to them, I swear to Allah, you will not get anything from my area. Basically, economic boycott. And he cut them to the point that they messaged they sent a message to the Prophet ﷺ later, the mushrikeen of Mecca, asking him. They said, we're your relatives, yani, ask Thumama to stop the boycott. And Thumama eventually did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Fussilat, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the good and evil cannot be equal. لَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. And then he says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. يعني, respond to evil with that which is better, which is best. Which is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. What is the result, O Allah? He says, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. This is very عجيب. يعني, he says, if you do that, then perhaps the one that was your enemy, not someone he disliked you, عدو, your enemy, okay, he will change and become like someone, like a close friend. وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Al-Hamim is not like a sadiq, a very close friend. Very close friend, subhanAllah. And that's exactly what Al-Akhlaq can do. And actually, Al-Akhlaq, good manners and character, can do the exact opposite. So inshallah, in the next 4 weeks, bi-idhnillah, we're going to be discussing the topic of good manners and akhlaq. Now, we actually did this in downtown a couple of months ago. Is there anyone here actually attended it? Wahad? Just one? Jameel, two people. MashaAllah. Tayyib. طبعاً, something to note here, that there's absolutely nothing wrong with rereading something or reattending something that you have previously attended. I just wanted to note that, because we have like a bad culture where, you know, if you attend something, خلاص, I attended the Seerah course 20 years ago, خلاص, I know the Seerah, you know? And that is a very bad habit, and that's a trap of shaitan, because it is well known that when you attend something, you forget most of it right away the next day. Yani, ask anybody who's recently done an exam in school, as soon as you leave the room, you forgot half of it, subhanAllah. And you always learn more and more. You always learn more and more. SubhanAllah, in Saudi, there is a dawra, there is a 10-day course that's done in the Masjid Nabawi by Sheikh Al-Usaymi, may Allah preserve him. And it's 10 days, and it's really intense. Like, if you've ever been to an Al-Maghrib class, you know, like from 10 to 7, yani times 2. And you're sitting in the masjid, and it's really long. They cover like two books like this thick, you know, literally like this thick. And subhanAllah, there's people who attended that thing 6 times. Like, I've seen students, alhamdulillah, I was able to attend it once. I wanted to go the second time, but I couldn't, because it's all the way in Al-Madinah. It was about 10-hour drive from where I was. Lakin, there's a huge benefit for the same thing with books. You read a book, read it again. You will see that you actually will learn more and more. So that was just a tangent of benefit. طيب, what are we going to be covering today? طيب, inshallah, we're going to talk about al-khuluq and al-adab. What is the difference between them? Are they the same thing? Are they different? We'll talk about the importance of having good akhlaq, the status of good akhlaq in Islam, attaining good character. Can you attain good character, or is it something that you're born with? And then inshallah, we'll talk about the poem that we're going to be covering bi'ithnillah in the next three weeks. طيب. Bismillah. So let's talk about khuluq and adab. I want to ask you a question. Is there a difference between khuluq and adab? I'm going to try to stick with the Arabic words. Naam, tafaddal. It's similar but not the same. Tayyib, you didn't help us. Tayyib, anybody? What's the difference? Is there a difference? Matiz. طيب, think about it. Let us know. تفضل عبد الرحمن. طيب, you got part of it. You got part of it. Anybody from the sisters know the difference? Or are they the same? You can just say they're the same, maybe. Okay, you almost got it. Ahsanti. So basically, طبعاً, I mean, I'm sure there's difference of opinion on this one, but, and this is something that always confused me. تفضل يا ماتز. نعم. Breathe. But think about it, inshallah, and tell us. So khuluq, it's a characteristic which is part of one's makeup. Yani, something that is part of you. Okay? And I want you to think of things like as-sidq. Yeah? What else? Give me some other, like being honest. Tfaddal. Mm-hmm. Amana, sabr. Right? These are things that are part of a person's personality or character. Jameel. So this is what khuluq is. Tamam? And of course, there's so many good akhlaq and there's so many bad akhlaq, tamam? Like a tawadu', you know, being humble. And what's the opposite of that? Al-kibir, sah, arrogance. And so this is khuluq. And wallahu a'lam, it's related, it's close to the word khalq, because this is something that someone is born with, okay? Can they actually attain it or get rid of it? Inshallah, we'll talk about that. So that is something which is part of somebody's own personality. Al-adab, wallahu a'lam, is actually the application of these things in different places. And that's why if you look at some of the books of Al-Adab Wal-Akhlaq, they'll tell you, مثلا, the adab of entering the masjid, the adab of reading the Qur'an, the adab of sitting with the ulama, the adab, and so on. So there's manners in different places. So the sister يعني, was almost 100% right. So that's what the difference is. طبعاً الأدب, nobody should confuse this with the subject in the Arabic language, which is literature. So in Arabic, okay, there's a subject called al-adab, and al-adab studies poetry and different kind of texts. So that would be adab. That's not what we're talking about here. طيب. So that's the difference between al-khuluq and al-adab. So they're very related. So that's why you hear people يعني interchange the names خلق خلق أخلاق and adab. طيب. But what is حسن الخلق? So there's many definitions. One of the best ones I found is, طيب, the Arabic here is can anybody read this? طيب, so طلاقة الوجه. So they said, some of the ulama, they said that الخلق الحسن, good character is meeting people with a good face, with a pleasant face. يعني this is the basics of good character, which is to meet someone with a good face, And then, بذل المعروف, and to spread goodness, and to remove harm, which is basically الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر, which is a major part of our deen. So this is a definition that يعني it's pretty good. Others, they said basically good أخلاق, good manners is treating people the same way you want to be treated. Treating people the same way you want to be treated. You want to be treated with kindness, treat people with kindness. You want to be forgiven when you wrong someone, forgive others. This is a very nice and basic definition. Others, they said, well, حسن الخلق cannot be just to treat someone just because they treat you well. يعني مثلا, someone is good to you, and you're good to them back. Is that good manners and good character? That's basic, that's adl. يعني. If someone treats you good, you treat them good. Okay? But حسن الخلق is when someone treats you bad and you still treat them well. Okay? Some of the ulama said that حسن الخلق is that even when someone treats you bad, you treat them good. And that's a very actually difficult standard to keep up with. Okay? And that's the example of the story of the Prophet ﷺ. يعني he was treated bad, and look, he treated him with something better. And look, the khair that came out of it. So any of these definitions, inshallah, will be good. طيب, the importance of having good akhlaq. I wouldn't be exaggerating if I told you that the only reason that the Prophet ﷺ was sent was for good akhlaq. And that's because he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إنما بعثت لأتم مصالح الأخلاق. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I was sent to complete or perfect good character. And here in Arabic, when you say إنما in Arabic, this is they call it الحصر. And this is to make something exclusive. يعني I was only sent. يعني my main purpose was to come and complete good character. Now it's interesting. It says complete. Because it was known that the Arab had good akhlaq, and they had good manners, and they had good virtues and values, but they were missing a lot of things. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he was sent to complete that. And so now, by the end of his message, you have a manual of what it means to have good akhlaq and good manners. إنما بعثت لأتمم صالح الأخلاق. Another narration, مكارم الأخلاق. And قتادة رضي الله عنه, he was reported to have gone to Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked her, O mother of the believers, tell me about the character of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, have you not read the Quran? It's a rhetorical question. Of course he read the Quran. Have you not read the Quran? She's trying to get him to remember the verse. Have you not read the Quran? He said, of course. And then she said, verily the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the Quran. كان خلقه القرآن. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. The ayah we recited in the salah, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And truly you are a man of outstanding character. وَإِنَّكَ, this is in surah, what surah? Surah Al-Qalam. Na'am. Literally, I think the third ayah. The third ayah, I believe. I forgot to put the reference. But this is right at the beginning of Surah Al-Qalam. Surah number 68. صح? No? No, I think so. Surah 68. طيب. So, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. It's interesting. Aisha was asked about the character of the Prophet ﷺ. And she said, basically, he's a walking Qur'an. Tamam? And so, every single good thing that is mentioned in the Qur'an, he applies it. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِهِ أَحْسَنَ that we talked about, the Prophet ﷺ applied it. وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطمهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. He applied it. All the good things that you saw in the Quran, he applied it. He was basically like a walking Quran. And a question we should ask ourselves, especially those who are married, if your spouse was, someone asked your spouse, how is the character of your spouse? What would they say? And if those who are not married, someone would ask your father or your mother, or your neighbor, how is the character of Fulan? What do you think they would say? Because that's what's going to describe how your real character is. How your real character is. And Aisha was the closest person to Prophet ﷺ. And her answer was that he was like a walking Qur'an. كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. There's a lot of misconceptions when it comes to al-akhlaq. And this is something that I had a lot before as well. Because when we talk about al-akhlaq, sometimes we say to ourselves, well, inshallah, in the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about something that's nice to have. Something that will make me a better person. Lakin, I'm here, inshallah, to break that misconception. Because al-akhlaq is not something that is nice to have. It's not something that, it would be nice for you to learn and to apply. Actually, it's a very important part of the deen. Extremely important part of the deen. And so you have two extremes. You have people who say, well, the only thing that matters, okay, is good manners with Allah. يعني to obey Allah. يعني to do my salah, to do my sawm, to do my hajj. The obligatory things that Allah asked me to do. And that's enough for me to go to Jannah. Tamam? And you have those people, and you have a group of them who will not care about good manners. They will never smile, they will be rude to you and things like that. And they'll be like, no, you know, I don't have to do that. And then you have another extreme of people who they say, oh, you know what? Iman is in the heart, Islam is peace, you know, we don't have to do all this thing, masjid, salah, you know what? It's all in the heart, as long as you're good to people. And that's another extreme. And that's another extreme. So none of these extremes are okay. The middle path is that al-akhlaq, our religion, is of two parts. Our religion is of two parts. Our deen, subhanAllah, is such a holistic deen. Right? And that's why absolutely Islam is against secularism. Because secularism tries to split between the deen and day-to-day life. And the state. And Islam is a perfect way of life. And you will see that al-Islam is basically two things. Our relationship with the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our relationship with the creation. That's it. That's our deen. And so when it comes to akhlaq, right? It's not just you dealing with people. It's also dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's also dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why a person who's not a Muslim, he has the worst of akhlaq. Because he has bad akhlaq with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. And he is attributing all that to somebody else, subhanallah. And that is the worst of the worst, if you think about it. And so akhlaq, it's a holistic part of our deen. It deals with our ibadat, our direct relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it also deals with the creation. It also deals with the creation. Look at this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ, and this is hadith well known in the 40 Nawawi hadith that most of you have studied. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتْ. يعني have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. وأتبع الحسنة سيئة الحسنة تمحها, right? And follow a bad deed with a good deed, and it will delete it. And then he said, وخالق الناس بخلق حسن, and behave decently with people. يعني treat people with good أخلاق. And so someone might ask, well, what's the relationship here? The relationship is clear. Our deen is not just us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A huge part of our deen is dealing with people. Is dealing with people. Right, that's the relationship between both of them. I want to give you a very scary hadith. And I still remember the first time I heard this hadith. I was in the masjid in Riyadh, and I remember exactly the masjid, and I remember the sheikh, and I remember the khutbah. And the hadith is as follows. They said to the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ فُلَانَ تَقُومُ اللَّيْلِ وَتَصُومُ النَّهَارِ وَتَفْعَلْ. And she does many things. وَتَصَدَّقْ. Right? And she gives sadaqah. Yeah, and they said, غَيْرَ أَنَّهَا تُؤْذِي جِرَانَهَا بِلِسَانِهَا. Except that she hurts her neighbor with her tongue. So he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, listen to what he says, صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, لا خير فيها. لا خير فيها. There is no good in this woman. I want you to think about this. Think of a person that you know who fasts, extra fast. We're not talking about fara'id. Fasts, extra fast. So he's already doing the fara'id, extra fast. Prays Qiyam al-Layl. So he's already doing his fara'id. He's doing Qiyam al-Layl. And he gives sadaqah, right? But he hurts his neighbor with his tongue. Not physical, it's not even physical, it's just the tongue. Yani he talks behind their back. Or maybe he screams at them or yells at them and whatever it is. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا خير فيها, there is no good in her. هي من أهل النار. I remember when I heard this the first time, it sent shivers. Because how, yani, usually we think of this person as someone khalas, yani he's got a ticket for Jannah. This person is guaranteed not Jannah Firdaus, yani under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people. But the Prophet now is saying that لا خير فيها. Just why? Why? Because she would hurt her neighbors. She would hurt her neighbors with her tongue. Imagine what if someone who doesn't do all this, تخيل someone who doesn't do all this, doesn't do Qiyam al-Layl, doesn't, and maybe physically also hurts their neighbor, what will be their end? And so then the Sahaba, they said, وَفُلَانَ تُصَلِّي الْمَكْتُوبَ. There's a woman, okay, that she prays her prescribed prayers. الفرائض. Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. Right? And she gives sadaqah with something very, yani, dry milk, if you've ever seen it. Something very cheap, yani. Dry milk. But something unique about her, لا تؤذي أحد. She doesn't hurt anybody. She doesn't get involved with hurting people. That's not something that she deals with. So the Prophet ﷺ says, هي من أهل الجنة. And you see, subhanAllah, how basic our deen is. You don't have to be the most pious person, the one that does the most ibadat and gives the most sadaqah and mashallah. Very basic. But from the most important things that stay away from hurting others. And all this is akhlaq, all this is manners. Very basic stuff. Yani, this is something that we go through every day. Yani, you might have, if you think about it, you sit down before you go to bed today, think of how many incidents that happened with you today, where you treated somebody bad versus you treated somebody good. And these are things that are being written day in and day out by the malaika. Bad akhlaq will push you to the hellfire. How? I want you to think about these two examples. First of all, طبعاً, the only way you enter Jannah after the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Is how? This is what we talked about in the last halaqa. You have to have hasanat. You have to have good deeds. Right? Your good deeds have to be more than your bad deeds. But the thing about bad manners and bad character is that they will make you lose all your good deeds. And so you might have a nice big account, and they were accepted. Yani your deed was accepted, your hajj was accepted, you had a good intention, you did it for Allah, you did it according to the sunnah, these are the conditions of a good hasana to be accepted, correct? You did all that, it was accepted, it was written down as a good hasana. Lakin, on the day of judgment, it's business, right? You hurt someone, you owe them. If you don't pay them back in this life, you will pay them back on the day of judgment. Na'am. And this is the famous hadith of Al-Muflis that we mentioned before many times. And we know this hadith, but we don't think about it as much. The Prophet ﷺ asked the Sahaba, Atadruna min al-Muflis? Do you know who the beggar, the bankrupt person? The person who, they said, oh, Rasulullah, the Al-Muflis, the bankrupt, is the one who has no money, no wealth. The Prophet said, no, that's not what we're talking about here. Al-Muflis Yawm Al-Qiyamah. There's no money on the currency on the Day of Judgment is not money. What's the currency of the Day of Judgment? Hasanat. Good deeds, bad deeds. That's the currency. And so he said, no, the Muflis from my Ummah on the Day of Judgment is the one who comes with Salah, Zakah, Sadaqah, and he listed Hasanat after Hasanat. Walakin, however, he insulted this guy, and he shed the blood of this guy, and he backbited this guy, and this guy. And so what happens now? Imagine you have this big bucket of Hasanat. Technically now you should be going to Jannah. But now, Al-Qisas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops the people from going, and now it's retribution. Whatever you didn't pay back in this life, you have to. And so you slandered someone in this life, and he never forgave you. You never tried to make up for it. So no, they will come and they will say, give me one of your hasanat. So you lost the hasana. Another person, he will take from your hasanat. Your bucket's getting smaller to the point until this person has nothing. He has nothing, zero. But what's the problem? There's still more people that he hurt. He still cursed this person. He still lied to this person, cheated this person. So now what happens? He doesn't have hasanat to give. What happens now? So now the other people are like, you know what? I have sayyat that will save me from Jahannam. Here, you take this. And so people start giving him their sayyat. This is all coming from bad akhlaq, bad manners, dealing with people. Right? And so they give him and they give him until the Prophet said he's thrown in the hellfire. He's thrown in the hellfire. So even though the hasanat were good, okay, you will lose the hasanat. Another way, bad akhlaq and bad manners will push someone to the hellfire is that they will actually nullify your hasanat in this life. Ajib. And if you go through the Quran, you will see many places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that. Anybody can think of an example? Tafadhal. Ahsant. Uh-huh. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tubtilu sadaqatikum. The next ayah. Ahsant. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tubtilu sadaqatikum bil manni wal adha. Ahsant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, there's a huge section on talking about wealth and sadaqah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tubtilu sadaqatikum. Don't invalidate your sadaqah. Sadaqah is a good thing. Yani you see someone donating to the masjid, 10,000, 20,000, 50,000. Someone built a whole masjid himself. Can you imagine that can be equal to zero in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How? لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. This is all goes back to manners, treating people. المن, reminding someone that you did them a favor. And so you go and someone needs help, a loan, you give them a loan. Or you give them a sadaqah. And then you remind them, hey, yeah, by the way, I gave you a sadaqah, man. Yeah. And you embarrass them in front of people, you hurt them. بالمن والأذى. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your sadaqah is gone. Nullified. Equals zero. Because the way you behave with people. And how many times people do that? Yani they help someone out and they keep reminding them. Yeah, and then when they need something, they remind, didn't I help you? Okay, you helped me because you wanted something or for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so with those bad manners and actions, you make your actions nullified. Anybody know any other examples? The famous incident where Quran was revealed, where the Sahaba raised their voice in front of the Prophet ﷺ. صح? In Surah Al-Hujurat. نعم, تفضل عبد الرحمن. فوق صوت النبي. أحسنت. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. All you who believe, don't raise your voice in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ. And some of the ulama said this came down because Umar and Abu Bakr were actually, they raised their voice and the Prophet ﷺ was there. أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. All your أعمال, this is عام, يعني this is general. تحبط أعمالكم, يعني all of them, all your deeds will be gone and you don't even know that. And some of the ulama said this is applied now in this life. How? When you hear something from the Prophet ﷺ and it's authentic and you go speak above it, يعني you go say, oh, you know what, that's just, يعني that's just a hadith, whatever. No, you have to be very careful. Imam Malik rahimahullah, yani, because sometimes yani adab, and I want to mention something, sorry for taking a tangent. I want to mention something because sometimes we study deen, and I've seen this so many times, I'm guilty of it, many people are guilty of it, especially people who studied the deen. Sometimes we study the deen, so we find ways to avoid doing work. Let me explain what I mean. Sometimes we want to learn the hukum of something. Haram, something's haram, okay? And so why we do that? So we can just avoid the haram, and everything else we leave it. And so when you tell someone, مثلاً, to do something that's mustahab, they'll be like, oh, it's not wajib. Or you tell somebody to leave something makruh, they'll say what? They'll say what? It's not haram, right? So let's assume, مثلاً, let's assume that eating with your left is makruh. Yani it's disliked, you're not sinful for it, but if you leave it, you get hasanat. Right? You tell someone, eat with your right, they'll be like, it's not haram. And so we fall in the trap. The Prophet ﷺ says, kul bi yaminik. The Prophet ﷺ said, eat with your right hand. Yani if the Prophet ﷺ was there telling you, wouldn't you do it? And so sometimes we learn the deen to kind of, it's a trap from shaitan, and we avoid doing yani what's best. What's best. And as a Muslim, we should always try to do what's best. The Prophet ﷺ said, do it, do it. You love the Prophet ﷺ? If you actually love the Prophet ﷺ, then you will do what he says. It doesn't have to be wajib. Does that make sense? It doesn't have to be wajib, right? And something doesn't have to be haram for you to avoid it. You want to reach the highest level, we all want to be reach the highest level, then even if something is makruh, avoid the gray area. And when you avoid al-shubuhat, then you have protected your deen, as mentioned in the hadith. Any other example that you can think of? There's many examples. And subhanAllah, one of the interesting things, if you go through the Quran, so many examples. Think of Juz' Amma that talk about treating people. Give me some examples. Short surahs that we all know. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ Right? وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ The one who spreads words. It's all about, a lot of it is just about how to deal with people. How to deal with the yatama. How to deal with the poor people, right? How to deal with the miskeen. How to deal with someone who asks. وَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ All these are coming down. The first revelations that are coming down, subhanAllah, in Mecca. طيب. The status of حسن الخلق in Islam. The status of حسن الخلق in Islam. I'm going to mention 6 points, and of course there's many other points, inshallah, that will motivate us, inshallah, to try to make this a goal for us. What if I told you that husnul khuluq is some of the heaviest hasanat that you can get on the Day of Judgment? The heaviest on the scales. Because sometimes when I tell you heaviest on the scales, you might say hajj, you might say, you know, sadaqah, you might say, what else? Give me examples of some of the big, siyam, Salah. Look what the Prophet ﷺ says. He says, "مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَثْقَلُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ." Yeah, there's nothing is heavier on the scale than good character. Nothing heavier than that. الْحُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. So really, and like we said before, this doesn't mean someone doesn't pray. No, you do your obligations. لكن حسن الخلق will raise you to a very high status. Inshallah, we'll mention one of the hadiths that will raise someone to the status of one who prays at night. Ajib. One of the best acts that a person can do. So it's one of the heaviest actions on the Day of Judgment. It's one of the biggest reasons for people entering Jannah. Would you believe that? And remember, when I mention these things, okay, you have to remember that al-wajibat are still there. You still have to do your maktuba. And that's why I mentioned the hadith of that woman, the second woman. She used to do her maktubat, yani she used to do her fara'id, okay? But she avoided hurting people. So the Prophet ﷺ, he was asked, ﷺ, "An akthar ma yudkhilu an-nas al-jannah faqal." What is the most thing that will enter people Jannah? What is the action that will enter the most people in Jannah? He says, "Taqwa Allah." وَحَسْنُ الْخُلُقِ And you see here like the two parts of the deen, تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَحَسْنُ الْخُلُقِ وَحَسْنُ الْخُلُقِ Which is having the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and good character. And then he was asked, صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَسُئِلَ عَنْ أَكْثَرْ مَا يُدْخِلِ النَّاسِ النَّارِ What is the most thing that will enter people into Jahannam? He says, الْفَمُ وَالْفَرْجِ Okay, the mouth and the private parts. The mouth and the private parts. These are the things that will, they will enter people the most in the hellfire. The mouth, just like that woman, you heard speaking about people, backbiting, slandering others, you know, saying foul words, you know, swearing, etc., lying. All this is coming from where? From here, right? And that's what Allah says: "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, falyakul khayran aw wat aw liyasmut." Whoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, then let him say good or just, yani, don't talk, be quiet. Yani, if you don't have anything good to say, don't talk too much. Don't talk too much. And of course, the private parts is zina, from the major sins. Number three. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, أَكْمَلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا. Right, because iman is not all the same. The iman of my iman, his iman, his iman could be way better than mine. And so the Prophet ﷺ says, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. The most perfect believers, or the believers that have the most complete iman, are the ones that have the best of character. The ones that have the best of character. وَكَانَ يَقُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خِيَارُكُمْ أَحْسَنُكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا. The best of you are those who have the best character. Right? And also in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ says, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. The best of you are those who are best to their family. And a side note here, why family? Why family? Not fadl, why family?
The easiest to get mad at?
Yeah, very easy to get mad at. Speaking out of experience. Not balagh yet, mashallah. So the family is the hardest to deal with. Yeah, some of the most difficult people to deal with are your siblings, sometimes your parents, right? And the opposite, sometimes the parents have a very difficult time with their children when they get raised. And they are the most people that test us. And this is something important to note, because sometimes people have two faces. With their friends, mashallah, they joke and laugh and cool shit, forgive. Oh, it's okay, man. You lend them money, they let it go. But with their family members, they make sure to get everything back. Their mom, dad tries to joke with them, they don't laugh with them. Yeah, this is very bad akhlaq. Okay? You need to be actually the best to your family. Okay? And sometimes, yeah, and we're all guilty of that. Right? Sometimes we give our family leftover time, مثلا. Yeah, you have your schedule. Yeah, you give your family, everything, the community, all of your time, and then you find a little 2 minutes here. Ah, this is for my family. That's not good akhlaq. That's not what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Would you believe this? And we mentioned this in the conference that we had, that the Prophet ﷺ, he says, أنا زعيم. I guarantee a house in Jannah for the one who gives up arguing. Tamam? Even if he's right. And then he says, I guarantee a house in the middle of Jannah for the one who leaves lying even for the sake of fun. And then listen to this. وَأَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ حَسُنَ خُلُقُهُ. And I guarantee a house, not in the lowest part, not in the highest part of Jannah, for that person who has good akhlaq. You want a nice, big, fancy house in the highest place in Jannah, under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best real estate you can find, then حُسْنُ الْخَلَقِ is your way. Of course, after, as we mentioned, after doing your fara'id and your obligations. You want to be in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because not everybody will be in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not everybody will be in the same proximity to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, akhyarukum, he says, shall I tell you about those who are most beloved to me and those who will be closest to me on the Day of Judgment? So they said, who, O Prophet of Allah? Okay, they were silent. So he said it again. So they were silent. So they asked him again. Right? He asked them again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they were silent. So then he says, so they said, yes, tell us, O Prophet of Allah. He says, أَحْسَنُكُمْ خُلُقًا. Those of you who have the best of manners. So you see that the theme of akhlaq is everywhere in our sunnah. It's everywhere in our sunnah, everywhere in the Quran. And it's not something that is nice to have. It's actually an integral part of our deen. And by the way, we said that the way you treat people can invalidate your ibadat. Think of all of your ibadat, they're all related, even your ibadat, they're all related to adab and akhlaq. Think about it. Think of any ibadah, the way you do it. The way you do it goes back to how you treat people. Right? Al-akhlaq, as we will see inshallah, is also with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So someone's salah is not all the same. One of the sahaba, he asked the Prophet about movement in salah. Moving in salah. Like he's, you know, we do that sometimes and we start moving and looking around. And he says, this is the shaitan taking away from your salah. Because you have bad manners in salah, shaitan takes away from your hasanat. And hajj, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about hajj? Al-hajj ashhurun ma'lumat. Faman farada fihinna al-hajja, fala rafatha, wala fusuqa, wala jidala fil hajj. Yeah? No swearing, no fighting, no intercourse, no swearing, no arguing. None of that in al-hajj. Because, and that's, what is that? Dealing with people, subhanAllah. And you can go through all the acts of worship. All the acts of worship. The last thing, subhanAllah, the person with good akhlaq will reach the status, okay, in one narration of the one who prays the night, and another narration, the one who prays the night and fasts the day. Extra stuff, yani, not the obligatory. So they asked him, and the Prophet says, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُدْرِكَ بِحُسْنِ خُلُقِهِ دَرَجَةَ الْقَائِمِ بِاللَّيْلِ. That a man who is known for good character can reach the level of someone who stands in the night. And we know that one of the most difficult acts of worship is praying in the night. Yani one of the biggest blessings that a person can be given is being able to pray at night. That's a very high status to have in Islam. And that's the time where the person is closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. So in conclusion, we said, having good akhlaq, it's the heaviest deed on the scale on the Day of Judgment. The biggest reason for entering Jannah. The believers who have the most complete iman are those who have good akhlaq. We said the person who has good akhlaq is guaranteed a place in the highest, a house in the highest place in Jannah. We said the person who has good akhlaq, he will be in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we said the one who has good akhlaq will reach the status of the one who prays the night, subhanAllah. طيب. Attaining good character. The question here for you guys. Can you actually attain good character? Because remember we said al-khuluq is something that a person is kind of part of his the way he's created, his personality, his character. So, is it something that you can actually attain? Because you will notice that some people, for them it's easy to have patience. Yani for me personally, I don't, yani it's hard to get me angry. It doesn't mean I'm going to get angry, but it's very hard for me to get angry. Yani someone can yell and scream, I'll be like, okay. Yeah. Other people, if you just just say something small, they'll lose it. Yani they're like a hot coal, subhanAllah. And so for them, sabr is difficult. For other people, it's easy. Tamam? So someone might say, well, it's not fair. Khalas, and you hear this all the time. I was born angry. This is from the DNA, madri ish. Yani they'll make up stuff. This is how I was born. Okay. So can you actually gain a good character and lose a bad character? What do you guys think? Huh?
Yes.
Atfadl.
So we have to try. We're commanded to look for good character, it means we can attain.
Ahsant, yani from a logical point of view, how does it make sense that Allah and the Sunnah is asking you to do X, Y, Z when you can't do it? It doesn't make sense. Even logically, it doesn't make sense. Allah will ask you to do something that you can't. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah subhanahu will not ask you to do something that you're not capable of doing. And so that's the first trap. Okay, from shaitan, to tell the person that, you know what, you were born like this, you're always going to be angry, you're always going to have a foul mouth, you're always going to be, whatever the bad manner is, and so you never be better, right? And it's from the traps of shaitan to tell someone, you will never be generous. You're just born bakhil, yani you are just stingy. You will learn. No, this is something that can be attained. And in authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ. There's some discussion about the authenticity of this hadith, but the meaning is true. The meaning is true that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that knowledge, al-ilmu bit-ta'allum, yani learning is by seeking knowledge, yani by putting that effort to learn. Al-ilm doesn't just fall on top of your head. It's not a, SD card you put in your brain. That's not how you gain knowledge. العلم بالتعلم. You have to go and struggle and learn. So he said, والحلم بالتحلم. الحلم, the highest level of sabr that you can have, forbearance, بالتحلم. يعني by trying to be patient, by trying to have perseverance. And so you can actually attain it. And the opposite for bad akhlaq, you can get rid of them slowly. Right? You can get rid of them slowly, step by step. What are some of the steps, inshallah? And let me finish the hadith. And this is an important part of the hadith. He says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَخَّ الْخَيْرَ يُعْطَهْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَقَّ الشَّرَّ يُوقَهْ. This is interesting because in this hadith, he says, الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمْ وَالْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمْ. And then he says, whoever aims for good will receive goodness. And whoever seeks to evade evil, he'll be protected from it. يعني, if you have an intention to avoid something bad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for you. You'll be able to achieve it. And so you see now the importance of a niyyah, right? And a niyyah first, before you even have a niyyah, you have to convince yourself what we mentioned before, that you can actually change. Because part of hope, yani part of hope, is to actually believe that you can change. Part of hope, al-raja, for hope, is to actually believe that you can actually change, right? And that's part of our Islamic psyche, to actually have that raja that you can always improve, that you can always improve.
So every person's born with an innate character. Mm-hmm. Some guys are more patient.
No.
Some people are. Mm-hmm. My understanding or just from life is reflecting on what you said. Mm-hmm. You can improve when you follow the deen. Mm-hmm. But to say, like, if you say the character of, let's say, Abu Bakr al-Ali, and then you say the character of, you know, Umar al-Ali, they had distinct characters. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you can't say that they were.
Of course. Yani the hilm of the forbearance of Abu Bakr is not the same as another Sahabi, yeah. Right? And so there's levels of it. Of course, every khuluq that you can think of, there's levels. But we're talking about improving, making sure that you always try to be better than what you were yesterday.
And what I wanted, my point was trying to say, mm-hmm. is like you do improve, but when you're closer to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, when you mm-hmm. follow. What you'll find is you'll recess back to your bad character, mm-hmm. like, you know, in life. Like, I mean,
yeah, of course. And sin, you're asking if sin has an effect on it?
Yeah, no, I'm saying it. That's my observation. Mm-hmm. It does.
Like, of course, yani, طبعًا, some of these things are they're not directly related to deen, right? But one of the amazing things about our deen is that we don't just do good for nothing. And I remember one time I was taking a class with religions. And they were talking about Buddhism, and they said, in Buddhism you do good for the sake of good. What's the point of that? Yani, I'm not going to do good. I'll do good when it's good for me. Yani. But for us in Islam, we do good for why? There's an incentive. There's a bigger purpose for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, because there's something khair for us. So there's always a motivation for us, and that's the beauty of this deen. So yani, a person who knows Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, knows the deen, like you said, is always more motivated. And after mentioning all these evidences, doesn't someone just want to improve their akhlaq and get rid of bad akhlaq? And I hope so. If you have even the tiniest of iman, it should have made something move inside of you. What are some of the steps we can take in attaining good character? طبعاً, what you're doing right now is the first step, alhamdulillah, is to educate yourself. Educate yourself, okay? Because طبعاً, good akhlaq, most of them are known. They are synonymous amongst different nations, peoples, religions. As-sidq, okay, honesty. يعني, nobody's going to disagree with it, okay? But how do you apply that in different places? Al-adab, you know, manners in different places. That's something that you have to learn, right? Those are things that you have to learn. And you can always learn more about things. يعني, you know that what sidq is, honesty is, or being truthful, right? Integrity. But when you educate yourself and you see how it was applied in the seerah, you see how it was applied by the sahaba, by the righteous people, you will see how to attain it, how they attained it, how they were able to reach such a high level. So educating yourself, number one. Reading about the people of good character. Yani the number one step is what? The seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. And so I started the halaqah with a story from the Sirah of the Prophet. And those of you who attended the course last week, you saw so many examples of the character of the Prophet. So many examples where it's a bad situation, the Prophet turned into a good situation. SubhanAllah. It's amazing. Just if you just focus on the seerah, you will find so many examples. Okay? Stories of the prophets in the Quran. You will see so many examples. Stories of the companions. Forgot the see there. Stories of the companions. Stories of scholars and righteous people. So many examples that you can see. So read about these people. And you will see, subhanAllah, they say that one of the best ways, okay, to improve yourself is to read like biographies in the morning. That's the best part of the day, maybe. A seerah or something like that. Read an autobiography or a biography of someone to learn about them. That's going to be something that motivates you to become a better person. To become a better person. We have the best of examples, subhanAllah. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. An amazing example. صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Practice. So we mentioned that the best way to attain a khuluq, okay, or an adab, is to practice it. Practice being patient. And I mentioned anger and patience because anger is one of the most destructive. We'll talk about it, inshallah. One of the most destructive bad akhlaq. Yani, people divorce, kill, yani they break up families just because of anger. And that one second, split second, yani huge decisions are made. Right? And then people regret it. SubhanAllah. And so a person can practice sabr. Can practice slowly, and they can get better at that. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلَّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ. Number four is to be with good company. Right? We all know the hadith of what? Which hadith? Huh? We know the hadith of the one who sells the perfumes versus the musk seller, right? If you go to his store, and subhanAllah, if you've ever been to a store of someone who sells perfumes and stuff, you will always leave with smelling good. You might not even talk to the guy. You touch a few things, all of a sudden you smell good. SubhanAllah, the example the Prophet gave is amazing. Right? You don't even have to interact with the musk seller. And the same thing with the goldsmith. Yani, just like when you enter a house of someone cooking like fried stuff, yani you don't have to eat it. You come out and you smell like, fried food. The same thing, you go to a store of a goldsmith, you don't even have to yani touch anything. The least thing is you come out smelling, okay, like coal or something burnt, subhanAllah. So being with someone with good character, the Sahaba, right? They had the best character, sah? Who were they with all the time? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, subhanAllah. So the person you're with has a huge effect on you. And if you want to have bad akhlaq, just go sit with someone that has bad akhlaq. I guarantee you, give it a few months, you will have the worst manners. It doesn't matter if you came in as a good person. Eventually, it will rub off on you. And number five, of course, is ad-du'a. And this is the most important. And from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and this is something that we do every day. Yani before you came, didn't you look in front of the mirror? I think most of us did. Sah? So from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is whenever he looked at the mirror, he would say, and there's different narrations. One of them is, Allahumma kama hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. Oh Allah, just like you have perfected my creation, okay, then perfect my akhlaq. This is something that we can practically do every day, bi-idhnillah, in the morning, whenever we are in front of a mirror, even in your car. And you just look at in the mirror, don't get into an accident, but just make the dua, yani. Look at the mirror and make the dua on the red light, inshallah, not the green light. Tayyib, let's talk about the poem now. So, inshallah, we're going to be studying a very short poem, okay, bi-idhnillah. طبعاً, why a poem? For those who don't, yani, we're not very familiar with this, poems were used in the past, and even now, yani, in the circles of knowledge, they were used to summarize topics. Tamam? Why? Why? Anybody know? Naam? Because they sound nice? They flow type. What's the point of that? Yani, is that gonna improve my akhlaq?
It's like more memorable.
Yeah. So, the Arabs love poetry, and they were the kings of poetry, and that was yani part of their mu'jiza, their miracle. Tafadhal, Abdurrahman. نعم نعم. The Quran came down, أحسنت, to challenge the Arabs because they were like, يعني their معجزة, their main skill was the language, poetry. يعني just go read some of their poetry, it's just amazing. طبعا المنظومات, these poems, the علماء would write them, okay. طبعا they would rhyme and they would be easy to memorize. يعني what's harder to memorize, like a paragraph of text or a poem? A poem, even in English, poetry is easier to memorize, right? And sometimes it sounds nice, and sometimes you just sing it. And many of the maybe nasheed that you read are actually poems that you listen to in your car. They're actually poems. Tamam? طبعاً these manzumat, there's a big, يعني, in every science in Islam, you'll find ulama wrote poetry. And it would be easy to memorize. So the one we are going to be studying is called manzumat Ahsan al-Akhlaq. And it's by the author is Dr. Amir Bahjat, who is actually, he's alive, he's a contemporary scholar, who's from Saudi Arabia. I think Sheikh Ali met him. I actually never met him, but I've listened to a lot of his works. And subhanAllah, he's actually a poet as well. And if anybody's studying the Hanbali Madhab, he has a lot of content online, very good material. In fiqh, in usul fiqh, in all the ulum. And he has written many poems, short poems and long poems, okay, to help students study. So the poem that we're going to be doing, طبعاً poems are different lengths. Yeah, some poems are 1,000 lines. Excuse me? 1,000 lines. Some poems are 1,000 lines, subhanAllah. طبعاً for those who memorize the Quran, يعني whatever, 1,000 lines. But 1,000 lines is 1,000 lines. يعني. It's a lot of to memorize. But inshallah, this poem is not 1,000, okay? It's not 500, it's not even 100, it's not even 50. Inshallah, it's just 29 lines. Very easy, bi-ithnillah, 29 lines, bi-ithnillah. That's the poem that we're going to be studying. So we'll try to do like 9 verses in the next 3 weeks. So inshallah, we're going to be taking about... So today, alhamdulillah, we went through the introduction of good manners, good akhlaq, okay? We need this foundation for us to appreciate this poem and to go into this poem motivated. Inshallah, next week we're gonna study hopefully lines 1 to 8. The next week lines 9 to 18, and then the week after lines 19 to 29. So you can actually go read ahead, and inshallah I'm gonna share a link with you. A student translated it into English, and inshallah use that to follow. We're getting close to an end. So this is a challenge for myself, okay, to everybody here, is to memorize the poem, okay? طبعاً, we mentioned that memorizing something, and this is just like a tangent, you know, sometimes people when they study the deen, they always, it's fine, everything, people fall into extremes. So I remember like when we were studying, you have a group of students who are like, you know what, the most important thing is what? Al-hifz, ihfaz, ihfaz, ihfaz. So they'll memorize things left and right, but their understanding is very weak. Yeah, sometimes, they'll say something and it sounds wrong, right? And anybody who just thought about it would know this doesn't even sound right. But his focus is just hifz, right? And you see a lot of people just do that now. And then you have another extreme. Usually those who don't like to memorize, they're like, the most important thing is al-fahm, understanding, right? And those are two extremes. Okay, the middle path is what? Is that you memorize and you understand. And look at the Quran, how it's treated these days. You have a group of people who memorize and they don't know what they're saying. And then you have a group of people who can give you tafsir of the whole surah, i'rab, dissect every ayah, but they're too lazy to memorize. It's too hard for them. So we always have to find the middle path. It is mentioned, يعني, that the sahaba would memorize 5 and try to understand them and apply them. So that's something that that we should do. So try to memorize it, inshallah, and hopefully we'll have some prizes for those who memorize it. How will we know? We'll figure out something. Maybe we can open like a Telegram group or something, or somebody can read it here at the end of our sessions. طيب, I want to mention something. Hopefully I'm not taking too much of your time. I want to mention something about al-hifz, memorization. Because sometimes we tell people memorize and they're like, man, it's too hard to memorize. Is memorization hard? Is it hard to memorize? Huh? You sure? So you're going to have this memorized next week? Akid. Khalas, we'll ask you Abdurrahman first. طيب, for some people memorization is hard, for others it's easy, right? طبعاً memorization for different people it's different. يعني sometimes people and remember we mentioned in our previous halaqas that sins affect our memory, sins affect our memory. But just naturally, from a general perspective, okay, memorization is not easy, right? And those of you who are going to school right now, tamam, and you just studied for an exam, what happens? Huh? Especially those who cram. And that's what everybody does usually now. What happens?
You forget.
The next day, you forget everything. I remember one time I wrote a final in my university. As soon as I left, I forgot what I wrote. Like, my friend was like, what did you write for that? I'm like, I just don't know. Let's go have lunch. So you just, subhanAllah, like, this is a very bad habit. Very bad habit we developed through our educational system. In the East and in the West, where the educational system has taught people to basically shove information in your brain and then basically throw it up after you do your test. And that is not the way we treat the Quran or the ilm, this ilm, because this is ilm that is applied. But in schools, a lot of the things you learn, يعني the student and the teacher know that this is not, you're never going to use this. يعني where are you going to use triple integration? Yeah. Those of you know, no. Those of you who don't know, you don't know. When are you going to use that? Tamam. Let's talk about memorization. And I say this, by the way, because people come to us in the Quran Academy. They come to Sheikh Hatim, and they bring their son or their daughter, and they'll say, Ya Sheikh, inshallah, I want them to memorize the Quran in 1 year. By the end of the year, يعني خلاص من الجنة والناس ألف لام ميم تو من الجنة والناس يعني حافظ ما شاء الله. Okay, طيب شيخ حاتم says, okay, أبشر, okay, طيب. Okay, how many days are you going to bring them? I'll just bring them يعني 2 hours on Tuesday. 2 hours on Tuesday. SubhanAllah. And so there's a big misconception about hifz. Hifz is a big task. And another big thing that is not understood about hifz is that the hardest thing of memorization is what? Huh? Retaining what you memorized. And the problem is that naturally, the natural thing is what? That when you memorize something, you forget. Right? And I just want to mention some things that really helped me in my memorization. It's a bit scientific, but really, we know this in our culture. يعني the ulama have talked about this many times. There's something in psychology they call the forgetting curve. It's named after this guy, I don't know how to say his name, Eben Gauss, I think he's a German. And he came up with something called the forgetting curve. Any psychologists here? I don't embarrass myself. No psychologists? Okay, fine. Whatever I say is true, right? So, he came up with this curve, and if you can see it here, if you look at the left side, that's memory retention. So the first time you learn something, hella, you guys now, you just learned about al-akhlaq, and you're like, oh, khalas, you know, those of you who don't have anything written down, you're like, khalas, I already know everything. Tomorrow when you have breakfast, try to remember what you heard. You will forget most of it, right? Like here in his graph, and this is just, it's not 100% accurate. Literally, he says you go down to 80%. By the third day, what happens? You're down to see. By the fifth day, khalas, you forgot everything, maybe. Tamam? So how can you fix that? This is something natural. يعني some of you will think, oh, Bukhari was born with hadith in his brain. La, la, la. Bukhari used to review. You read his life, he used to review. Imam Bukhari, the famous hafiz of hadith, he used to review. These people used to review. Now, there's another dimension of making dua to Allah and staying away from sins, yes. But the basic premise is that whatever you learn, you will forget. This is tabi'i. This is those who are going to school, this is going to help you a lot. Tamam? So how do you fix that? How do you fix that? By reviewing. So look what happens. When a person reviews the next day, what happens? He goes back to 100%, but what else? How long does it take to forget now? The curve is getting what? It's getting more flat. So now it takes you longer to forget. Tamam? It takes you longer to forget. So if you listen to this halakha today, tomorrow you listen to it on times 2 speed, يعني you don't have to sit down for the whole hour, times 2 speed, I think you can do that on Facebook or YouTube. You will see that it will actually, the information will go back to 100% and it will take you a longer time to lose it. SubhanAllah. Third time, fourth time, fifth time. ولذلك, that's why, okay, if I ask anybody now to read Surah Al-Fatiha, do you need to review? You can actually say it while thinking about something else. يعني when you're praying many times, may Allah forgive us. يعني you're planning the day and you read Surah Al-Fatiha. And sometimes those of you know your surahs very well, you can read a whole juz' and you're somewhere else. SubhanAllah. This is a very interesting curve that gives you an idea of how hifz works. What did he discover? Three things. He said, memory weakens, obviously. Bismillah. What happened here? طيب. Breathe. Type. What he discovered. He says, memory weakens over time. Ma'ruf. We saw from the curve that over time your memory will weaken. I don't care who you are, right? And you will see actually when you study the ulama of hadith, okay, you will see that some of the ulama didn't accept someone who was reliable once they got older. Why? Because now he started to forget. And he would have to use his book. And so sometimes they will say, if he had his book when he told us the hadith, we accept it. If he told us the hadith and he didn't have his book with him, so this will make the hadith weaker. You see now so memory weakens over time. Number two, the biggest drop happens the day after. And so those of you who come to Quran class, مثلا, or trying to memorize Quran, if you memorize today, you read it to the Shaykh, mashallah, 100%, wala khata. Okay? Literally the next day, you're like, I don't remember this. SubhanAllah, like, you didn't. So the biggest drop happens right after. And so this helps you in strategy, صح? يعني, so the most important day for your memorization is when? Is the next day. But what happens with people? As soon as they memorize something, they do what? They move to the next thing. خلاص, I'm done with that. I don't want to see it again for the next month. And that's actually the opposite what we should be doing. The third thing, it's easier to remember something that has meaning. And I want you to think about this. And try to apply it when you memorize Quran. When you know what something means, it sticks with you more. Isn't that right? Is that what you wanted to say? Ahsant. When you know the meaning of something, yeah? Like many times, you know, I'll be memorizing something, I'll be like, man, it's not working. I'll look at the meaning, then I'll repeat it, khalas, it sticks. And something that you know the meaning of, it always sticks more with you, okay? And that combines both dimensions of knowledge, which is memorization and understanding. And try it with the Quran. The surahs that you know the meaning of, you never forget them. Sometimes you know a meaning of an ayah and you will never forget it, subhanAllah. And so meaning has a big implication. Sometimes people in school, they will memorize things and they have no clue what it says. And so they forget it very fast. One of the sisters was laughing. Damn, fadal. Question? No, yani that's how the brain is, subhanAllah. Yeah, that's how the brain is. It is selective in a sense, but sometimes it's random. Yani you know what it means. And sometimes incidents happen where it just there's an image in your head and you remember it. طيب. Steps to memorize. This is something that I share with the Quran kids. And يعني, maybe it's something that benefits you. And there's so many ways to memorize for al-hifz, right? Because sometimes people are like, I don't know how to memorize. Like sometimes, you know, they say it's not about how much time you spend. You see a person sit down for an hour. How much you memorize? Three ayahs. Three ayahs in an hour. He knows how to read, yeah. And then another kid comes back in an hour, he has three pages. SubhanAllah. What's the difference? Yeah, any different brain? What's the difference? Yeah, so sometimes people will just repeat, okay, or they'll read from the first of the page to the end of the page. That's not the best way to memorize. Yeah, there's techniques on how to memorize. So one technique that I always like to share with the students, and maybe this is something that will help you, inshallah, in memorizing this poem. And I'm saying this, of course, the Quran is the first thing we should try to memorize. But for those of you who want to memorize this poem, inshallah, one of the things I tell the students when they memorize, okay, for obviously you have to know how to read it. Tamam. So if you can't read it, yani it'll take you a bit longer. But read the ayah from the text. Okay, 10 times. Why 10 times? Why 10 times? It's a magic number? Huh?
It will
stick to your brain. Why 10? Why not 9? It could be 9. It could be 9. But I use 10, why? Because that's how many fingers we have. If you have 11 fingers, do it 11 times. For 10 times. And you want to do it from the book, even if you memorize on the fourth time. Tamam? You will see countries like Mauritania and stuff, they will do 1,000. Just start with 10, inshallah, and then what you want to do is cover that and say it 10 times. So now how many times you've said it? 10 times. How many? 10 times 2, ya jama'ah. It's taking too long. We're almost done. 20 times, صح? So now you've said it 10 from the book and 10 without the book. Tamam? What do you do next? What do you do next? Then you go to the next one. Sahil, you go to the next one, you do the same thing. طيب, what do people forget to do? They forget to connect them. So when you're memorizing these lines, memorize one line, the second line, but then you have to connect them. So that's where the 5 comes in. You want to do both of them 5 times, 5 times. So you can connect them. Because a lot of times, okay, you read the ayah and you don't know what's coming next. Because you haven't connected them. You haven't made the connection between them. And then what do you do third? Go to the third ayah. Okay, and do the same thing you did with the first and second. But now, before going to the fourth, read all three of them together. From the book and from without the book. And you will see that this, inshallah, and the nice thing about this, you'll actually time yourself. And you will know over time, oh, it takes me half an hour to finish this much. I think this is the warning, right? Inshallah, it takes me this time to finish this much. But that's a good method to do that. Try it with a short surah, or try it with these poems this week, and see how it works. طيب, two important concepts to understand with hifz is spaced repetition, which what the graph showed us, that it's not enough to repeat in the same day. You have to have spaced repetition. So day one, day two. And basically what it says is that when you have these spaced repetitions over time, يعني you don't have to review the next day. Once you review the next day, you can review after 3 days. And that's why, يعني for the ulama, it's not like they're sitting down repeating a million lines every day. No, some of the things actually they have to review it once. And I know some of the huffaz, they come to Taraweeh, they can just open the mushaf, yeah, we're doing this, khalas, they're done, yalla, bismillah. And then other people are sitting for 20 hours preparing for Taraweeh. Yeah, that's me, for example, right? So the more you have the spaced repetition, the easier and the longer you need to actually go back to it. Tamam? And what's active recall? This is an important concept because some people, when they memorize, what do? Like sometimes when you study for a test, people study, and then what do? They just keep flipping through their notes. Type, you haven't actively tested your brain. And so if you want to memorize something, you have to actually test yourself. And that's why the best way to study for a test is what? Do an old test. Or open a blank piece of paper and try to write down all the things that you learned. Okay? So when you memorize this poem, you memorize a line. Try to actually say it while you're walking, driving, etc. without looking. Without looking. طيب. We're done. Don't worry. Inshallah, alhamdulillah, we're done. For those of you who want to... I hope it works. You can scan it with your phone. It will take you to a PDF file. This was translated by one of the students of the Sheikh. It has an English translation. It's not perfect, but it's good. Okay? Inshallah, you can use that to follow. Bi-idhnillah, I'm going to try to print some next week, but have it with you. Try to print it yourself, inshallah. Did it work, by the way? Anybody?
Yeah, it worked. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, alhamdulillah. It's a Google Drive document, so it should work. It's about 3 pages. So that's the poem. That's the Arabic, and there's the English there, inshallah. So prepare the first 10 for next week, and inshallah you will benefit a lot if you at least read them. And those of you who want that prize, inshallah, and want to benefit the most, memorize those lines. So I know most of you want to leave. I took too long. Forgive me for that. Any questions? No questions. Naam, tafadhal. Oh, so much. Yes. The famous book, How to Make Friends and Influence People. Excellent. These books, yeah, they teach you. يعني, these are natural things. يعني, of course. And so having a non-Muslim friend who has good akhlaq, of course, is something that is sought after. يعني, it doesn't have to be just Muslim. But obviously, Muslim, يعني, it's better to have a Muslim friend. But even your non-Muslim friends, which you have to have, يعني, you try to find people who have good akhlaq because you can learn from them. Of course, we learn from them. Naam. Khalas, we're done. Barakallahu feekum. Wal asr in insan al-khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amlu salihat wa tawasub al-haqi wa tawasub al-sabr. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.